Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at the Western Cape government's latest medium-term budget policy statement, the MTBPS.
Right, their mid-year check-in, essentially. And the title they've given it, A Budget to Weather the Storm, really says a lot up front.
It certainly does. So our mission here is to, you know, unpack that. What are the province's priorities? How are they handling the immediate money issues? And what's their longer-term plan?
And you really have to see that title in context. Globally, growth is slowing down. 3.2% forecast for 2024. And South Africa, well, it's looking at maybe 0.9% growth. Sure. So, yeah, turbulent waters feels about right for when they drafted this.
Okay, so let's get into that. The national picture obviously hangs heavy over the province. They mentioned this cautiously optimistic outlook nationally, but like it's still hampered by load shedding and logistics, right?
Absolutely. But it's more than just slow growth affecting them. It's a direct fight over resources, really.
So,
well, look at the national debt. It's set to peak around 75.5% of GDP soon. And the province, they state very clearly in this document that national government cut $590 billion nationally.
From core services?
Yeah, from health, education, police. Mainly to fund SOE bailouts, according to the statement.
Yeah.
And that filters down. They say it's resulted in an R8.4 billion cut to the Western Cape's slice of the pie, their equitable share, since 2021.
Wow, R8.4 billion, that's substantial. So it's framed as a direct consequence of national decisions impacting provincial services.
That's exactly how they frame it, a long-term shift of burden, basically.
Okay, but despite that backdrop, the Western Cape itself is projecting, what was it, 1.0% growth this year?
Yeah, 1.0% in 2024, hoping for 2.2% in 2025. They're positioning themselves as that lighthouse in a turbulent ocean.
A lighthouse? But isn't that optimism a bit shaky? I mean, unemployment's lower than average at 19.6%, but youth unemployment, that's still over 31%. That's incredibly high.
It is. And that's the tension, right? How do you project growth and stability when facing those national cuts and dealing with major social challenges like youth unemployment?
So how are they planning to manage that? Does the budget lay out a specific strategy?
It does. That's where their blueprint for resilience comes in. It's built on four main pillars tied into their big 2025-2030 provincial strategic plan.
Okay, what are the pillars?
So first up is growth for jobs. That's the big economic one. Aiming for a R1 trillion provincial economy by 2035.
A trillion. Wow. And creating what, 600,000 jobs?
Over 600,000, yeah. With a real focus on youth development. Second pillar, safety. Pushing forward with their safety plan. Aiming to have the murder rate by 2030. They mentioned an 8.7% drop already.
Okay, jobs and safety, what's number three?
That's well-being and dignity. Things like scaling up housing, boosting early childhood development, and tackling food security, sort of the core social service delivery focus.
Right, and the fourth?
Pillar four is innovation, culture, and governance. This is more forward-looking. They talk about implementing AI, artificial intelligence, exploring different ways to finance projects, maybe with partners like the World Bank.
AI, interesting. How would they use that?
Could be for anything from, say, predictive policing to managing water or energy grids more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
It's also where they slot in their big green energy plans, aiming for 5.5 GW over the next 3 years. That's a huge infrastructure push.
Okay, so that's the long-term vision. But you mentioned immediate pressures. How did they actually adjust the budget this year, the 2024 adjustment budget? Where did the money move?
Yeah, this shows the immediate squeeze. They allocated R1.72 billion in total adjustments. Now, some of that came from conditional grants, about R1.2 billion.
What were those grants for?
Mostly disaster reconstruction, R947 million there, and then R251 million for building schools quickly, the rapid school build program.
Okay, but that still leaves a gap if the total adjustment was R1.72 billion. Where did the rest come from?
Right, exactly. They had big in-year pressures, especially in health, driven by medical inflation and also in education. To cover those, they had to dip into their own funds.
Their reserves.
Essentially, yes. The Provincial Revenue Fund, or PRF, they pulled almost R500 million from it.
Just to cover those immediate shortfalls?
R230.5 million went to health to deal with about R267 million in pressure, and R250 million went to education to help manage over R400 million in reported pressure. It shows how tight things are.
Definitely paints a picture of juggling immediate crises. What about climate change? You mentioned disaster funds.
Yeah, that's a clear priority too. Over the next couple of years, they're putting nearly R700 million towards energy and water security. And this year specifically, R21 million was allocated right away for flood response, getting ready for fire season, clearing alien plants, that sort of thing. They're actively budgeting for climate impacts.
Well, pulling it all together, this budget seems like a real balancing act. trying to deliver services, manage these national funding cuts, deal with climate shocks, all while trying to stick to a long-term plan.
That's a good summary. Use that phrase, storms make trees take deeper roots. The whole document is about managing these constraints, especially the shrinking national transfers, while facing demands from a growing population. That's the core challenge.
So here's a final thought for you listening. The province is clearly betting big on its own initiatives, major infrastructure, AI, that huge green energy target. The question is, will these long-term plays for self-sufficiency be enough and quick enough to counteract the ongoing squeeze from national budget cuts?